For the Medical Journal of Australia, I'm Kate Swanell. Welcome to the MJA podcast. This podcast is recorded and produced on the lands of the Djabal and Djerriwarr peoples. I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land, their elders past, present and emerging. It's probably fair to say that general practice has had a rough go of it lately. Of course, with the COVID-19 pandemic raging on, all healthcare workers are under the pump. But for GPs, the pressure has been on to be the pointy end of the stick when it comes to vaccine rollouts, monitoring in the community, ongoing management of mental health and long COVID, on top of their usual scope of practice. Add to that the continued underfunding of the specialty and the desperate financial straits for many practices, particularly those operating in low-income areas, and advocacy has been the order of the day. One steady hand on the tiller for the past 2 years has been Dr. Karen Price, the current president of the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners. As her term heads into its last few months, we sat down with Karen for a chat, and it turned out a bit of a sing-along. So you're in the last few months of your term. How does that feel? Is it winding down, or do you feel like you're just going full
ball? Oh, God, no. I just looked at the last few weeks, just absolutely crazy. So I'm pretty much travelling most weeks. A little bit mad. I'm not doing anything that's absolutely, unless it's absolutely necessary, because I just need to look after my health this last few things.
I'm guessing when you signed up for this gig, you weren't expecting a pandemic, and it must feel like it's been a little bit like being a wartime president.
Funnily enough, people have said, oh, you drew the unlucky straw. Yeah, you could look at it like that. And there was certainly some times when first year in Melbourne on Zoom constantly, that was pretty tough. But on reflection, I'm really also lucky because I got to showcase what general practice could do. I got to speak with well-backed and obvious evidence of what my colleagues were doing. And to lead a college and a community through a pandemic is an amazing experience. So I think I'll look back on it with all of that kind of awe and wonder and probably memories of the exhaustion too. But it's been a pretty amazing time.
It's felt like the last few months, the hunger for GP reform has really ramped up. Is that fair? Have you noticed that, or has it just been a constant for you?
From our point of view, we recognised the need, obviously, for a long time, and the Medicare freeze was just the start of the decline. But even before that, the lack of indexation of Medicare, the slow boiling of the frog. And you know what? Yeah. We're now at the point where we have to do something. And it's critical. And I think the challenge is that over probably at least a decade, if not more, there's been pernicious and ridiculous denigration of our profession. And that's resulted in a lack of pipeline, which is only really manifested now. You know, it's slowly dropped bit by bit, but now it's really manifesting. And we've supported and backfilled using the wonderful international medical graduate so that they're nearly 50% of our college now, which means that Australia has failed. That's what it means. It's not a long-term strategy to keep importing professionals when there are absolutely high quality high school students in Australia, or primary school students, or even students not born yet, who are going to make great Australian doctors in general practice.
So what are the priorities going forward, do you think? I mean, obviously you can't speak for the next president, but the values of the college won't change. What should be the priorities going forward?
The mission statement, I've made sure, I think, along with new management, that the college is very focused on the role of the college. The mission of it is to enable all GPs around Australia to deliver healthcare for Australians. So we should be the enabling college to deliver on all the things that GPs need. And what they've told us that they need is advocacy for funding. They cannot do their job without appropriate funding. So, I mean, of course, there's all the other bits that go along with that. We take it for granted that the college will keep providing high quality CPD. The college will keep providing and working on all of the standards and for accreditation and quality practice standards that we do. You know, every week I'm answering out of session endorsements for various bits of policy and things that the government want answered on, and we give a GP informed view. Otherwise, there would be no one at the table of advocating for GPs. We need to focus on those, and particularly the funding. We have to make GP the career of choice. So the funding and workforce are really like two parts. You know, the train, the old-fashioned steam engine train, there's two wheels, the cogs are like, they're the same part, parallel.
Yeah. You've been very strong about the future of bulk billing. Is it dead? Is there a place for it?
It all depends on what the government does. I mean, you know, there's also talking about, and I started this with my presidential term, multi-source funding. And people have been talking about all various different models and how it's all going to need to be this way or that way. And the thing is, there's no one answer. If you're in Rose Bay, you're going to need a very different funding stream to whether you're in Broken Hill or in Arnhem Land. It doesn't matter which system. So let's just get this right. It doesn't matter which system you use. If it is underfunded, it will not deliver outcomes. And all of the systems applied as a top-down approach will have unintended consequences. Now, so what we're trying to advocate, which is a complexity argument, mm-hmm. is that GPs should be able to choose which way they design their clinic around in terms of the funding streams. And that allows for professional autonomy. It allows us to address the inverse care law. And with the Medicare, the task force, I keep putting on the table that there is no health system in the world yet which has really truly addressed the inverse care law in terms of funding. Multi-source funding, multi-system funding comes the closest. And when you go all one way as the UK or you go all one way as America, you have these terrible gaps and terrible or clogging of the system and poor functioning. So we really want to avoid those very salient lessons. And we want to be able to have a good mix of private cash, Medicare, government insurance support, mm-hmm. and maybe other streams of funding. One of the most important streams will be to enable one health system to enable state funding of general practice. If they want to keep spending money on hospitals, that is just throwing good money after bad. And the taxpayers should be looking at this because we know that general practice does preventative care. If we've all got to pay these state taxes and levies, and our everyone I know complains about their tax bills and things, but we're going to spend our money wisely, which we need to do, investing in primary care and making it one health system so that we don't keep building hospitals, which waste a lot of healthcare dollars if that's the only avenue of healthcare. Saying they're not important, of course they're important, but you know, looking at the system, we can't keep separating out bits of the system and only funding bits of the system. That is how you break the system.
So those of us on the inside know that things are in a dire state. Has that filtered through to the public yet?
Well, I think so. We certainly have anecdata that patients are saying to their usual doctor. So these are patients who are engaged in general practice. Don't you dare bulk bill me. I want you to stay. I want you to keep the doors open. They're worried about their doctors. Yeah. Of course, there's general comments that are to the contrary. I think you know, the press has been really good and responsible and in looking at this from a proper journalistic approach rather than a tagline. It is not absolutely not about doctors' incomes. It is about the resourcing of primary care. It's about GPs working to full scope. It's about us delivering for healthcare for all Australians. And to ignore this problem is to go down the path of disaster, in my opinion.
How far away from it are we?
I think if we can get some really strong signals from this government, I think that will really help improve the morale and we can really start talking about reform. But we have got some foundational structural elements that need to be looked at, and that's mm-hmm. particularly areas of failure in workforce or in healthcare delivery. So that could be that there's no doctor. It could be that people aren't going because the gaps are too wide, and this is the inverse care law. So looking at that very carefully and cleverly, I'm hoping that we can really start to move the dial. But, you know, we've got a 10-year plan. That's probably how long it's going to take, Kate. We need to be able to signal for the younger generation. I'm giving a talk to medical students tonight. And I do think that there's a lot of reason for optimism. You know, the politicians, the policy people, the health bureaucrats, these are all very well qualified people. They're aware of what needs to be done.
You mentioned the new government. Are you seeing any positive signs?
Yeah, I think I am, and that's good. We are not seeing that the market can look after itself, because that's not true of those people who are in the lowest socioeconomic demographics. They do need support from the community at large. So I think I'm seeing interest from Minister Butler. I'm seeing him having to navigate all the challenging dialogue. There's a lot of single-issue people. Mm-hmm. And I think if we're going to approach this intelligently, we've got to look at the whole thing. We've got to look at rational use of resources, and we've got to look at the whole system. Fortunately, being a GP, it's not just because I'm a GP, but it's because the evidence tells me so. If you invest in primary care, you're going to get a much higher functioning health system with much less use of the overall dollars.
Of course, the last few weeks have been on Twitter, particularly, have been fascinating, if not somewhat insane, with the whole conversation generated by Ian Hickey and Seb Rosenberg in Insight about GPs being gatekeepers and how that's not a great thing. Is there anything you want to add to that debate? I mean, it's been extraordinary.
It has. It's been disappointing that someone who's never has no expertise in general practice is commenting upon our profession as if we are sort of further down the chain than the non-GP specialist when we have our own fellowship and our own specialty. So, and the thing is, we had a very positive statement from the College of Psychiatrists, which was very welcomed, because we do work with psychiatrists, we work with psychologists, we work with social workers. We want to work better. We want to look after people, and we look after an enormous load of mental health care. Now, there is not one solution, but to say that GPs should not be gatekeepers is just nonsense. That's sort of pitching it as a turf war, and it's a bit of a media bite line, but it's about health systems. And if he's truly going to understand health systems, I do recommend that he read up on primary care. In our Health of the Nation report, we know we do heaps and heaps of it. I was reading up on the King's Fund report of mental health in primary care from the UK. Even the patients who attend psychiatrists, or even as an inpatient, psychiatric inpatient, they still have a GP, and the GPs are still pulling their weight in this space. And I don't think we should be seen. I think it's very unglorious for patients and in a public space to be debasing other professionals who I think it's a very bad look for patients. I don't think we should be doing it there. I think we've got to have a good and frank discussion about what are the conflicts of interest in this space. And I think we've got to have a good and frank discussion about how various parts can fit. I don't think we should be talking about patients as if we own them. And I think that's it's dehumanizing in some way. I think we've got to listen and work together. This is a very big topic. We're talking about the well-being of our whole community and how we thrive and function in that. In some ways, there's a battle over the philosophy of approach to healthcare that occurs with our non-GP specialists versus GPs, because we are dealing with a whole person and not just one diagnosis. General practitioners diagnose everything across the spectrum. And that is, it's not a gatekeeping role, it's a diagnostic role, and it's a complexity role. And we are saving healthcare resources. These are not insignificant roles that we have, and we are trained for them. It's not just a question of gatekeeping, and we're doing our job if we're directing people accordingly.
So have you had a chance to think beyond your presidency yet?
Well, I've said because I had the breast cancer just before I started, it sort of interrupted my last run at the PhD, which is all written and just needs to be finished. So I'm going to give myself protected time to do that.
Right.
And then I'll most certainly keep in touch with my patients and with Monash, where I'm in the Department of General Practice there. But I've put on my business card and tell people that my aim is to be a public nuisance. So so whatever that means, and I'm certain that I hope that the experience I've received and hopefully the competence that I've shown is going to be something that people can use for the betterment of general practice and in whatever way that flows. Now, my PhD is on the role of peer connection in general practice. So I'm very interested in doctors' health. I'm very interested in the way doctors learn and how, and obviously I've got GPs down under, which is the informal learning space. So, you know, there's all lots of very exciting places I can go. So there will be a month maybe of planting petunias and cleaning up the house.
Excellent, yes.
And reacquainting myself with family and friends. A bit of self-care is involved. I've also got a list, you'll be happy to know, called December, which is a list of all my medical appointments, dental appointments, and things that I need to catch up on, including the car needing a service. So there's all of that stuff just doesn't get done.
You mentioned the breast cancer diagnosis. How are things? Are you well?
Yeah, absolutely well, 100% well, and stay well. So, look, you know, a really early diagnosis, millimetres, and I feel very, very grateful for our wonderful health system and the perfect timing that I had. Extraordinarily lucky. Yes, I had a radical procedure, but was logicked out. And as my surgeon said, you saved your life. So I'm very grateful to be here.
Fantastic. What are you proudest of for your presidency?
I think what I'm proudest of is hopefully sending a vision of general practice that the GPs themselves can be proud of. Giving GPs a sense that they are being heard, that they've got a voice, that they're actually doing a bloody amazing job. They really are doing a superb job, and that to have pride in their professionalism. So clearly we keep pointing to standards. We keep saying, look, the system's really hard. Don't try and let it change how you practice. Try and keep practicing. We know that's most difficult for those doctors who are committed to low-income areas. And I know to some extent that might have put pressure on some doctors, but the message wasn't about abandoning bulk billing. It was do what you must to keep your doors open so that you can service your patients. And if that means you have to charge a gap to some, then do so. But I have great compassion for those doctors who are working in really hard in low income areas where they're very challenged by Medicare. And it's just not acceptable for our country, which is wealthy, to have a system where people are not able to access healthcare on the basis of cost. Mm-hmm. That's not acceptable. And I think most Australians would agree. So we have to look at that carefully. I'm just proud of the fact that doctors can, GPs can say, we are a noble profession, and they have acted as that through COVID, and they're also acting as that through that with articulating the very deep pain of what has been decades of neglect.
Do you have high hopes for the task force?
I have high hopes with the, I hope, right amount of scepticism and force. It's also making sure that, you know, we talk about all of the different method of changing the foundational structure of general practice. I want to see the model, and I don't want to rush into it, and I want to make sure that it works, and I want to make sure it's iterations, that we've got a committee that's established long after I've gone that's going to repair if there are unintended consequences. I've got to make sure that that this isn't just one thing implemented that's going to come out in December, and certainly make sure that the commitment to funding doesn't stop in December.
Yeah.
Because if it's only that much money, it won't change a thing. It's not about money. It's about resourcing GPs to work to full scope so that we can service our patients.
Thank you, Karen. You've been an absolute pleasure to deal with over the last couple of years. It's been great. I hope the last couple of months aren't too wearing.
Oh, well, we'll just keep punching on, and if not, we'll fall over and pick ourselves up again, because that's what we do.
Yeah, exactly. There's
a theme song there. I think there is
a theme song there somewhere.
I get knocked down, but I get up again.
There you go.
Yeah, they're gonna keep me down.
I'm including that.
That's our song.
I'm including that. That's definitely in. Excellent. My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.